Hello and welcome to Out of the League with me, Alex Ewing. We've got a cracking show lined up for you this week as we look up and down the three blue square divisions. We also catch up with non-league old boy, Craig McHale Smith. We start this week's show in the blue square Bet Premier, where there's only one royal place to start in my opinion, and that's Telford, ending their 30-game winless run and condemning Ebbsfleet to relegation with a 3-1 win. So it's a hat-trick there from Aaron Williams, which was enough for the Shropshire side to get that first win. Barrow joined Telford and Ebbsfleet in relegation after losing 2-1 to Cambridge United. And the Barrow manager, Dave Bayliss, had some very strong words to say about his players, so it wouldn't be a surprise if we saw a big turnaround there next season. At the other end of the table, Mansfield are now 2 points clear of Kidderminster with one game to play. So the title really is going down to the wire, with it being decided on the last day of the season. I still fancy Kidderminster for the title if they've got relegation-threatened Stockport in their final game. Will Mansfield have to host Wrexham, who of course are in the playoffs, and beat Mansfield 2-1 to end that cracking winning run earlier this season? In the blue square bet north, it looks like the playoffs have almost been decided, with Guiseley and Brackley already guaranteed their places, but Halifax and Altrincham are starting to clear, get away from that pack of Bradford Park Avenue and Harrogate Town. And at the bottom, well, the relegation fight there is really heating up. Hinckley and Drosden have already gone, but Colwyn Bay, Corby, Histon and Bishop Stortford really battling it out to avoid that final place. Colwyn Bay currently are in 20th, but and only 3 points behind Corby, but have two games in hand, so they'll really believe that they can actually get out of that. Moving over to the blue square bet south, Welling looks set to take the title there, just needing 2 points from their last two games. Salisbury look like they're going to have to settle for a place in the playoffs. The other three places look like they're going to be decided for by Dover, Chelmsford, Eastleigh, Western Supermare, and then potentially Boreham Wood and Sutton United, although they'd really be outsiders there. And the others would really have to drop points for them to sneak into the playoffs. Relegation-wise, Truro City have already gone, but the last two spaces are really being battled out by Billericay, AFC Hornchurch, Maidenhead and Tunbridge Wells. I think Bromley maybe just have enough points there to stay in the division for next season. This week we've been lucky enough to catch up with Craig McHale Smith, a non-league old boy who obviously played for Dagenham and Redbridge, St Albans and Ardsley Town. He has been telling us about what non-league means to him and how it's affected his career. Firstly, how's the injury, Craig?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I've been in for a couple of weeks now doing really, really light rehab and just kind of seeing how the scars heal and stuff. So it's just a case of taking it day by day. It's going to be a long time, but I think mentally I'm prepared for it, and it's the case now, just focusing and getting through every day that comes along.
Fair enough. And obviously we want to talk to you today because, as many people know, you're one of the success stories from the non-league. You started your career, if I'm correct, at St Albans, and you obviously moved on to Ardsley Town, where you had quite an impact, 17 goals in 54 games. What was that like for you as a player?
It was good. I think at St Albans I came through the youth ranks, and it was really exciting because I played in the first team at 16, so to do that it was just an amazing feeling, and I thought kind of it would all go from there, but sadly it didn't just kind of work out, and I got released there when I was 19, I think it was, so that was a big disappointment. And obviously you want to see yourself going up the league, not down the league, so when I went to Ardsley I was a bit frustrated and annoyed, but kind of put that to the side and was playing right wing at the time, so just did the best I could out on right wing and played pretty well there and done really, really well against Dagenham, and that kind of helped me get a move there.
Yeah, so as you said, you beat Dagenham and Redbridge in the FA Trophy and then you ended up there. So was that really what sparked the move? Did they notice you in that game, and was that really what set you on your way?
Yeah, I think so. I think I played really, really well. We played them over two legs. We drew 3-3 at their ground, and I set all three goals up, and then we played them at home, and I think I scored one and scored two and set a couple up. So yeah, I played really well in those games, and it was kind of, that was my aim, to play well. So they were a bigger club. They were really well known at the time because they were doing well in the FA Cup in the season. So yeah, no, it was just an aim to play well against them, and hopefully something would come from it. And at the end of the season, I got a message from the manager at Ardsley saying that they wanted to speak to me.
So what was that like for you? Because obviously you dropped down a few leagues, but now there's a big opportunity for you to to really go up in, into the Conference Premier, and that was a great stepping stone for you, surely.
Yeah, no, it was really exciting. Obviously, it was, as you say, it was the Conference Premier, and when you're non-league, you always look at the other leagues above, and always kind of look at the teams in that league, and it was fantastic to be signed by a team in that league, and at the time, I think they were progressing in between semi-professional and professional, so I joined as a semi-professional player, and I was on the way to kind of go to Brunel University, and decided that it would be worth asking the club if they would allow me to go full time. I had a good chat with John Steele, and we worked it out, and I ended up going full time with Dagenham, which is unbelievable.
So when you were at Ardsley, was that always the hope that you could get to that full time contract?
Yeah, definitely. I was working at home base at the time, and working at college, doing all my sports stuff, and I wanted to make sure that I was kind of education-wise, I had something behind me if it didn't go well. But the aim was always to be a professional footballer, and I was going to work as hard as I could to do that. And obviously to do it, I think I was 21, was great, considering I think his previous sort of 5 years previous that I didn't really get done too well as an all.
Yeah, exactly. But how important do you think it was actually to have that backup with your education? Because a lot of the time now, kids are getting released at, 16 years old, and that's kind of it. They don't really have anything to fall back on. What encouraged you to maybe continue with your work and potentially even go to university, as you said earlier?
I just thought it was just wise. My parents always wanted me to focus on education. Obviously, they knew that my love was football, and I wanted to be a professional footballer, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way, and you need a backup plan, and they always just said to me, just to make sure I got my education, and for me it was really important to have all what I needed to go to university, just in case it didn't happen. And as you say, kids get released from School of Excellences now and don't really have much to back them up, so it's an important thing to get, I think, at any age, because obviously football doesn't last forever, so you always want to have something backing you up when you retire.
No, of course, that must be really helpful for you to know that when your career does come to an end, inevitably, that there's something there to fall back on, and that's not it, really.
Yeah, definitely, because it comes quicker than you expect. Obviously, when you're young, it's all exciting, and you never really look that far to the future, to the end of your career, and as you get older, it kind of looms and gets closer that you're going to have to one day stop playing the sport that you love, and you need to get a backup plan, because you have to look after yourself. If you're earning good money, it will stop, and you need to look after your family and the lifestyle you're living. So it is a big part of football to kind of make sure you are prepared for when you finish.
Going back to Dagenham Redbridge, it was there where you got an England C call up. What was that like for you? Because obviously it's a non-league England side. Was it good for you to mix with other players, probably with the ambition to get into the Football League? And how many of the players that maybe you played with there have really gone up the leagues as well?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, we kind of played, all the young players kind of knew each other through playing against each other in the conference. And it's quite funny because I played with George Boyd there, Aaron McLean, Shwan Jalal, Shane Brackett. They all were like teammates of mine at Peterborough. So it was kind of good because there was a great class of non-league player there. I think there was Michael Morrison, who plays at Charlton now. There's lots of good players that came out of that side that have gone on to play in the top leagues of professional football.
Exactly. But you must be one of the few players who actually played for England and Scotland, because obviously you're now playing and scoring for both as well. Was it a tough decision to choose Scotland over England, or...?
No, obviously I've got the Scottish heritage, and my aunt's Scottish, my nan, and it's something that I've always looked into, and as soon as I came professional, I did speak to Barry Fry at Peterborough about it, and I left it with him, and he was kind of on the case finding out, speaking to George Burley, I think, at the time when I first broke into Peterborough, and nothing really came of it. And it was nice that Craig Levein kind of kept an eye on me when he came manager, and he gave me the opportunity to represent Scotland, which I'll always be grateful for. And I'm always proud proud to be selected for the squad and pull the shirt on and play the games.
As you alluded to earlier, you're talking about your time at England C with George Boyd, Aaron McLean, who were your teammates at Peterborough. And Peterborough seemed to have a bit of a knack for finding these top quality players in the non-league. So like during your time, obviously, they were there, but now there's Dwight Gale, Nathaniel Knight-Percival, and even Michael Bostwick spent some time in the non-league. Do you think it's worth other teams maybe scouting the non-league a bit more thoroughly? And is there still plenty of talent there?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously there is a lot of good talent in the non-league, and it kind of takes, you need some players playing with better players to become better players themselves. And I think there is so much talent in non-league football. I'm surprised that clubs kind of don't look at it more sometimes. I think they're after a quick fix rather than kind of taking this non-league talent and nurturing it and making it become better players. And lucky enough, look, Peterborough, Barry was on the case. I think Darren and Darren were looking. And I think when I came in, there must have been 6, 7. I think there must have been Chris Wildale, Charlie Lee, myself, George Boyd, Aaron McLean, Shane Blackett, Sean, Kieran Charnock. There was Danny Blanchett. The list goes on. There must have been 7, 8, 9, 10 of us that they brought in. And more often than not, most of us were a success there, and I think most of them are still playing football at a good level, so it is worth a gamble. Obviously, you just got to be patient and take the time to allow the player to adjust.
And do you think, because you played non-league football and you knew the hardship of being maybe part-time and working in home base, that you valued your professional experience higher than maybe kids who have come through the academy being put in the first team straight away, or is there very little on the training ground like that?
I think so. I think obviously players in academies and that, I think they do appreciate what they've got and what they're doing, but I think it's coming through non-league, having to have done a proper day's work and kind of gone to uni, college, you kind of have a perspective, you realise what you can lose, real life can be if you don't become a professional footballer. So it is a reality, and I think it kind of drives you on to achieve, and kind of when you, as you go up the leagues, I don't think that drive stops. I think it's instilled in you to keep pushing on. I'm not saying that the academies don't have that drive. I just think it's more instilled in you when you're kind of got to fight for it.
And did you find a transition easy enough to make, or like to Peterborough and into like League One and the Championship, or was that actually the harder move from to Dagenham, because that was you really going full time?
I think Peterborough is probably a bit more difficult, and there's a lot more expectation. At Dagenham at the time, I was just so excited about going to play football for Dagenham, and obviously turning professional there was just amazing. So I wasn't really worried. I was just really more excited, and then Peterborough was a bit more pressure because obviously the club was in D2, they were pushing to get out into the Championship, and you get judged a bit more. I think every time you go up a league, you get judged a bit more. So I did have a little think about it but once I got here and obviously seeing all the boys that I've played with and coming to Shane Brackett, who was a teammate at Dagenham, and going with him, and it kind of relaxed me and allowed me just to kind of ease my way in and just enjoy every minute of it.
And so did you always believe, even when you were at Arsley and Dagenham as well, that you had the skill, the ability to make it professionally first of all, but then to represent Scotland, and now as a Brighton team, you're in the playoffs, around the playoff area, and have the chance of getting promoted if things go well at the end of the season?
Yeah,
did you ever dream of playing in a Premiership, and do you think that was realistic?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you have to play at these levels to kind of get that belief. There's always a belief in you that you can play, but obviously until you've played it at that level, you never know. So I've always believed that I'm good enough to play at the highest levels, and obviously to play for Scotland international football against, I think I played Spain and Brazil, which I've been very lucky with, and done okay. Then I believe I can go to the top level, play there, and at this moment in time Brighton are sort of just inside the playoffs, and we're hoping that we can push on and take the Premiership, and then we can kind of realise the dream of playing in there.
And so, taking a step back, obviously, from the Premiership and Championship, do you still follow the non-league? Do you follow your old teams, or just have a look at it, the tables in general, or how do you feel about it now?
No, I always keep an eye out. Like, I keep an eye out for my teams. I keep an eye out for teammates that I've played with in non-league and in the lower leagues. I always kind of look out because it's part of me. That was part of kind of my apprenticeship to kind of where I am now. So I always like to see how they're getting on. It's just fantastic to see all my friends and stuff and my teammates playing still and doing well.
So your old manager, John Still, now at Luton, do you think that's a team that can maybe get pushed back into League Two maybe next season?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously he's done a fantastic job at bagging them on the budget. He brought in some fantastic players himself from non-league. I think he brought in Paul Benson and Sam Saunders, Danny Foster and people like that. So he's got a great eye for non-league talent and working on a shoestring budget. But I believe he's going to have a good budget and he'll bring the right players in and they'll play the way he wants you to play. And I think he'll drive that team on and I think he has ambitions to push them on, so hopefully I think this season's a bit tough, but maybe next season they'll get out of the conference and back into the leagues.
And that was Craig McHale-Smith telling us about his time in non-league football. Next week we talked to Danny Kedwell about his time at Wimbledon and Welling, obviously now at Gillingham, and if there's any players that you want us to get in contact, tweet us at Out of the League and we'll see what we can do. Remember to tune in next week and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes. And if there are any future budding writers out there, get in contact. We're setting up a new non-league website in time for the start of next season. You've been listening to Out of the League. Remember to follow the show on Twitter at Out of the League and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.